As I map the Gospel of John out, I know many of you have asked me where this is leading. Lord willing, and I say Lord willing, we should be in John chapter 20 on Easter morning, which is the resurrection chapter. So, hey, but whatever the Lord wants, I might preach one word today, you never know. And a Good Friday, which we will be having a Good Friday service this year, will be, of course, John chapter 19 and the crucifixion. So everything is falling into place just perfectly. John chapter 16, what we have been seeing the last few weeks, Jesus is with his disciples. They've already had the Last Supper. He is teaching them some last things. He's encouraging them, giving them some last instructions of what was going to happen in the hours and days ahead, things that they would need to know. Last week, we saw that Jesus once again promises that the Holy Spirit would come. In fact, Jesus said, "It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come," because it's when Jesus goes away that he sends the Holy Spirit to the world. And we said that there was three things that Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would do that would be to the advantage of the disciples. The one we saw last week is that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world in sin and righteousness and judgment. We saw how even the presence of the Holy Spirit is judgment on the world. There is a time of decision to be made. Repent and believe in the gospel. And that's the Holy Spirit's responsibility, is to draw sinners to Christ for salvation. This week, we're going to see how the Holy Spirit ministers to believers and also how he propagates the glory of Christ in the world. So, continuing in chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus continues to say to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Jesus has much more to teach these disciples, but they were not ready for all those things that he had to say. In fact, he did not really say much more this night. And if he did, they would not be able to understand it. And the word that Jesus uses here is to bear it, to carry it, to understand it. Why? Because they're already carrying a heavy load. They're already burdened. There's enough on these disciples, and they can't handle anything else. Jesus has already said last week that they are full of sorrows in verse 5. Why are they sorrowful? Well, they found out one of them is a betrayer. One of them is a denier. Jesus told them that they would all be hated and persecuted by the world, and that he would be leaving them and be killed. You've been there, I'm sure. You've had so much bad news at one time that you feel if you hear one more negative thing or one more bad thing happens that you're just going to break. I think in a way that's how his disciples were feeling this night. Under a heavy load, under heavy burdens, Jesus knew, "I've got much more to say to you guys, but you just can't handle it right now." They're full of sorrows. They're full of anguish. No more bad news, please. Not right now. Their cup is cracked. And whatever else would go into that cup would just wind up coming out of the bottom. It's not just that they are sorrowful, but I believe there's another reason why they are not able to bear it right now. And that's because the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches them all that they need to know. Jesus has taught them now for 3 years. They've walked with him. They've heard his sermons. They've seen the miracles. And you know what? They still don't get it. They are still surprised when he's arrested. And the sight of him being crucified makes them all scatter in fear. They still don't understand and remember that Jesus himself promised that he would rise again from the dead. No matter what else Jesus would say at this point, they wouldn't be able to understand it or comprehend it. They haven't understood anything completely up until this point. And it won't be until afterwards, after the Holy Spirit has come, on the day of Pentecost, that even John has already written throughout this gospel. Oh, those things he told us, but we didn't get it then. We didn't get it till later. It all clicked. It all made sense later. So once their hearts are so sorrowful, but secondly, these disciples need a tutor. They need a teacher. They've already had Jesus with them. They've already have the greatest teacher there ever could be. But it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit that will come, that will be able to help them comprehend all the things he has ever said in his whole life. Jesus has a promise for them about their shortcoming in this area. Oh, yeah. He says in verse 13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Again, he promises the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts the world. But what does he do for you, disciples? What does he do for you, believers? He teaches you. He teaches you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he hasn't come yet in this time frame, this night, to Jesus' teaching. But he will when Jesus leaves. And when Jesus leaves and he comes, it will be more advantageous for them than if they were still walking and talking with Christ as they had been for the last 3 years. The Holy Spirit helps us and these disciples in all of our weaknesses. Jesus calls them the Comforter. He's also called the Advocate. He's a paraclete. It's the Greek word that's described as comforter in the Bible. It describes as one who comes alongside of. Oh, these disciples would need somebody to come alongside of them, to cheer them up, to encourage them, to remember the things that Christ has said. For that's where their joy would be in the days ahead. Even in the midst of persecution and trials, imprisonments, shipwrecks and beatings and tortures, they would need to remember the promises of Christ. Jesus did not leave them as orphans, that's what he said. "I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you alone. My Spirit is coming, and it'll be better for you with my Spirit than with me. It's more advantageous for you if I go." This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. I think we are often so ignorant of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We don't even understand what even happens behind the scenes. What happens when a Spirit-filled believer lives his life and goes through trials and tribulations and joys and sits in church and hears sermons and helps all the dots go together just where they're supposed to be. We have no idea the magnitude and the brilliance of the work of the Spirit on our behalf. The Holy Spirit is all that we need. And I believe that Jesus is encouraging them. You guys are full of sorrows now. You're full of weakness now. You're filled with burdens that are too heavy to bear now. You can't even take another teaching right now. But that will change when he comes, when the Spirit of truth comes. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he says this, Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Have you ever been there? You ever go to pray and just don't even know what to say? Maybe you're so burdened, sorrowful, discouraged, depressed, you name it. And you just sit there and you just cry. I've been there. What do you do in those moments? You keep trusting. You keep admitting your weakness before God. And the Spirit that lives inside of you, which is the Spirit of Christ, even when we don't even know what to pray for, Paul says, the Spirit Himself is interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. Oh, Christian, did you know that the Spirit prays on your behalf? Did you know that Jesus is your advocate and standing in your place before the Father? Did you know that God knows what you need even before you've asked Him? Do you know that even God knows how you feel and what's happened to you this week, even before you tell Him? Oh, He knows. And it's in that knowing, it's in that encouragement, it's in that filling of the Holy Spirit that we find strength in our weakness. It's what these disciples would desperately need in the days ahead. It's desperate. It's this boldness that they had to proclaim Christ without fear. Here's Peter denying Jesus in just a few hours. And then 50 days later, he's standing up in the temple courts proclaiming Christ to thousands. How does a man go from one extreme to the other? It's the Holy Spirit giving him boldness, helping him in his weakness, encouraging him. Paul says in Acts chapter 9, or Luke writes in Acts chapter 9, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit did come for these believers. And it comforted them and encouraged them. And Christ's church exploded with growth. It just doesn't make any sense. If there is no Holy Spirit, then there is no purpose to being a Christian. If there's no Holy Spirit, there's no reason to read our Bibles or to go to church or to do anything. And these believers in Acts chapter 9, suffering great persecution, being thrown in prison, beheaded, killed for Christ, in the midst of all that, had peace. How do you have peace in the midst of conflict, in the place of war, when the government's trying to come in and break up your church gatherings and tell you that it's illegal to gather in the name of Christ? That's what was happening in Acts 9. And yet, in the process of all that, Luke says what? They had peace, and they were being built up, walking in the fear of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it multiplied. What Jesus is promising these believers is the very thing they would need the most, and yet they don't even understand it quite yet. It's when He comes that they will be able to bear these burdens. Not that night. Not this night. It's when He comes. They have a strength. They have a power. That is God Himself inside of them, breathing spiritual life into them, communicating the Word of God to them, convicting them of their sin, calling them to repentance, and creating joy. Creating fruit in their life. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, meekness, long-suffering. All these things are fruits of the Spirit that come as a result of His life in us. Oh, it's good that He comes. It's good that He comes. Jesus calls Him the Spirit of truth. What a description of Him. When the Spirit of truth comes, he says in verse 13. He will guide you in all truth. Jesus is okay with not unloading the whole curriculum on this night. He's okay with it. He's got a lot of things to teach him, but he's okay. Because you're going to learn it. You're going to learn it, and he is going to teach you. He's going to teach you. Wouldn't it make sense that the Spirit of Truth, that's his title? Because he's the Spirit of Christ. And who is Christ? The way, the truth, and the life. He comes from Christ. There is no lies or deceitfulness or confusion in him. There's no false doctrine. There's only truth. There's only glorious, sanctifying truth for the Christian heart and life in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is responsible for all spiritual truth in the world, every single one. And listen, whatever you know today about God, whatever you know today about the Bible, there's not a single person here that could say, I've learned that from Dan Sardinas. Or I've learned that from John MacArthur. Or I learned that from my pastor growing up, or my Sunday school teacher. There's not a single person in here that can give credit to any single human being. For my words are dead words, unless the Holy Spirit takes my words from my mouth and connects them into your heart and brain and teaches you the truth that God has for you. I am not your teacher. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches you. Now, I like my job, so don't get any crazy ideas, okay? I'm a messenger. I'm a pastor. God is using men like me to sanctify his people through his word. But the credit all goes to God, and specifically the Holy Spirit. He will guide you in all truth. Think about that. All truth. 3 years went by. Jesus taught a lot of things. I don't know about you, but I forget the things that happened 2 weeks ago or yesterday, right? It's like, well, what did Jesus do on that day? Have you ever wondered, how did Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John write what they wrote? Years afterwards, they weren't writing as they went. How did they remember the words of Jesus as they did? How did they remember the events and the things that they wanted to bring up to their readers and their audiences? How? The Holy Spirit guided them and led them in all truth. That's amazing, friends. And it's to your advantage that I go away, Jesus says. Because when I go, he's going to cause you to remember everything I've ever told you. Everything I've taught you and everything I wanted you to know, it will make sense then. And it did. We see the writers of the New Testament say, oh, we didn't get it then, but we got it now. It all makes sense now. It's not because they're smart, because a lot of them were just common men. They weren't educated men. They weren't Pharisees or other rulers in high places. The disciples were fishermen, right? A political zealot. Tax collector. You think of the simplicity of the men that Jesus chose. He didn't have confidence in them. Like, hey guys, I believe in you. Go do it. We'd all be in trouble if that were the case. If Jesus said, you guys can do it. Go for it. None of us would be here. Because somebody would have quit along the way, right? Somebody would have quit. Somebody would have got tired and fatigued. I'm out. I didn't sign up for this. But no. Why did they continue? Why did they did what they did? Because the Holy Spirit came. Jesus has already told them this. In John 14, for example, he says in verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. John says in 1 John chapter 2, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you. That's the Holy Spirit. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2, these things God has revealed to us, how? Through the Spirit. What things? Everything I'm telling you, Corinthians. Everything I'm about to write to you in this letter. God has taught us by his Spirit. We're not making this stuff up. We've been taught by the Comforter, by the Spirit of truth, by the Teacher. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. What are all these verses saying? There is nothing that the disciples would ever preach that was true, that was an original idea in and of themselves. None of it. It's not what Paul says or James says or Jesus says, because, you know, that's the latest thing today. Did you know that? People who want to discredit biblical truths, especially when it comes down to social issues, they'll say, well, Jesus never talked about homosexuality. Paul did, but I'm sticking with the words of Jesus here. Friends, it's the Word of God, not the Word of Paul, not the Word of James, not the Word of Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's the Word of God spoken through these men. Paul relied upon it. John relied upon the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that thought ever come through your mind? You're reading your Bible and you come to a difficult passage, right? And you're like, what does this mean? How do I figure this out? How do I make sense of that? Probably the last thing on your mind, unfortunately, as it has been in mine many times over my life, is, well, why don't I just ask God to help me here? Why don't I just ask the Lord for wisdom? Instead, we try to figure it out. We try to come up with all these concoctions and formulas and, well, this means that and this is connected here. And a lot of times we come up with false doctrine. Charles Spurgeon, as you know, one of my favorite dead guys. I forget how many steps he had up to his pulpit at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. It's like 20-something steps. He was up high. He would write that every time he entered that pulpit, every step he took up to that pulpit, climbing those steps, the 20-something steps, whatever it was, he would say to himself, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Why? Because as great as Spurgeon was, Spurgeon is nothing without the Holy Spirit inside of him. He is nothing without the Word of God that he preaches. And Christian, if Paul needed the Spirit to understand spiritual things, if Spurgeon needed the Holy Spirit to understand spiritual things, what makes you any different? You haven't figured anything out. It's from him. And it's to your advantage that Jesus went away, because that's what you have as his gift. Jesus continues and says that the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, He will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. I know what some might be thinking. Well, how do I know the Holy Spirit's teaching me right? How do I know that he's not going to lead me astray? Right? Well, again, the words of Christ brings great clarity to this. The Holy Spirit is not on a rogue mission. The Holy Spirit does not do what he wants. He does what he does in conjunction with Christ and God the Father. The Godhead are in unity with one another. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit does not speak on his own authority. He only speaks what he hears God the Father say, God the Son say, and he will teach you the things. The disciples, how do we know that what the Holy Spirit's telling us is true, that what you want us to know is true? Because whatever he says is what he has heard from the Father and the Son. We could trust the Holy Spirit to do that. He does not have his own independent authority. And this flows with the thought of John's gospel. Because you know who else said the same thing? Jesus. Jesus says, oh, the words I speak are not my own. Whose are they, Jesus? The Father's. I only speak what I've heard from him. So think about this. The Father speaks, and Jesus speaks what the Father has said. How does the Holy Spirit operate? Same way. He is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit in this world is the continuation of the ministry of Christ in this world. He does what Jesus has done. He does not speak on his own. The authority flows from the Father and the Son, and he will declare these things to you. Oh, you could trust the Holy Spirit. And how did the Holy Spirit teach these disciples? We have it in our hands. Our Bibles. It is the Word of God. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Your Bible isn't the inventions of someone having a good idea one day and needed to write it down. The words are inspired. They come from God. The prophets didn't just decide to start preaching one day. Thus says the Lord. Lord, what did you say? No, they had a word to say because they heard what the Lord had said. And the New Testament would be the same. The same Holy Spirit which spoke to the prophets will now speak to the apostles to give God's word to his church. This is what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. All scripture is what? Breathed out by God. Some of your older translations might have the word inspired there. The literal translation of the Greek is breathed out by God. God breathed. That's what the word inspired means, inspiration. The words of the Bible are breathed out. If you stick your hand in front of your mouth and talk, you can feel the breath coming out of your words hitting your hand. That's what the word means. God breathed. The words are the very breath of God from his mouth. All scripture is breathed out by God. And interestingly, the same word for breath is the same word that is translated spirit. God breathed spirit words. Oh, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible through these men because he taught them. He caused them to remember everything. They wouldn't remember half the things, maybe a quarter of the things, if it wasn't for the Spirit giving them the words that God wanted to write. Look at verse 14. The third thing that the Holy Spirit will do is to glorify Christ. In verse 14, Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, he will He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Oh, he will not let you down. The Holy Spirit's main responsibility in everything he does is to glorify Christ. The Holy Spirit does not seek any fame. The Holy Spirit never seeks any attention. If anyone tells you any different, they're lying or misunderstood. The Holy Spirit's job is to do one thing. There's Jesus. Worship him. There he is in all his beauty. You who are blind and cannot see, open up your eyes and look to Christ. Magnify him. Worship him. That's what the Spirit does. Why does he do that? Because that's what Jesus does of the Father. Jesus says, the Father glorifies me, and I glorify the Father. And what does the Spirit do? He glorifies the Father and the Son. Oh, the Spirit doesn't seek his own glory. That's what Jesus says. In John chapter 8, when speaking to the religious leaders, Jesus says, I do not glorify myself, for if I did, my glory would be nothing. It is my Father which glorifies me, of whom you say he is your God. This is how the Godhead work in unity, in unison with one another. They all glorify one another. How do we know we could trust the Holy Spirit, Jesus? He will glorify me. How does he do this? He takes what is mine and declares it to you. Oh, how wonderful this is. How wonderful this is. How does he do this? He does this by bearing witness about Christ. We saw last week that nobody gets saved without the Holy Spirit. Nobody. They are born of the Spirit of God. That's what John chapter 3 says, Jesus to Nicodemus. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. The Holy Spirit can't stop talking about Jesus. And you know where the evidence of that is? In the Word of God. From beginning to end. Do you know what this book is about? Jesus. From beginning to end. The devotional book that I have written for you that you will receive in just a few short weeks called The Two, Shadows of the Gospel, is we will explore the shadows and the types of Christ and his gospel in the Old Testament from the book of Genesis all the way through the Old Testament and even including some New Testament ones as well. Who wrote that? The Holy Spirit did. How do we know he did it? Because it all is about Jesus. That's what he seeks to do. He bears witness about Christ. It's to your advantage that I go away, Jesus says. Why? Because the world will be convicted in sin and righteousness and judgment. Secondly, when I go away, the Spirit of truth will come and he will teach you everything I've taught you. He will cause you to remember everything. He will comfort you. He will empower you. He'll give you joy. He'll give you the Christ-like life, transforming you wholly into God's image, into Christ's image. And thirdly, he glorifies me. So when he comes to the disciples who have a knife at their neck, who have a sword in their belly, who are being asked to recant Christ or die, it's the Holy Spirit which gives them the words to say in that moment, I choose Christ. It's the Holy Spirit which empowers Paul to say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. None of those men can say those words apart from the Spirit. And Christian, here's the good news. This is not some Holy Spirit from years gone by. This is not the Holy Spirit of a book that was written, and it's a good story. The Holy Spirit that we speak of in these pages in the Gospel of John is the same Holy Spirit which we possess today, the Holy Spirit that we received upon our conversion, upon our regeneration, the new birth inside of us, that caused us to hunger, that caused us to love, that caused us and created faith in us to cry out to God to save us. It's that same Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. The Bible is filled with reasons why we need Him. The Bible is filled with reasons why the Christian life is meaningless without the Holy Spirit of God. And there's a lot of crazy things in the world. Did you know that about the Holy Spirit? People say some crazy things about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does and the things that the Holy Spirit... Stick to the book. This is what the Holy Spirit is. This is what Jesus says He will do. And may you understand that you need Him. If He is the breath of God, if the Spirit is the word of breath, if He's like breath. Let me ask you a question. Did you need to breathe today? Then you need the Holy Spirit today. Breath upon breath. He is the breath of God. May you know this. May you treasure it. May you search the Scriptures. If you are a Christian, you don't have to ask God to give you His Spirit. You already have Him. But now we can be commanded to be filled with the Spirit, to reject sin, forsake sin, read His Word, treasure Christ, submit to Christ, be filled with the Spirit, not walk in the flesh. Oh, there's so... We could preach forever on this. But may you know who He is and why you need Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this glorious passage which teaches us about the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus thought it necessary to tell His disciples just minutes or hours before He's crucified, arrested, betrayed by Judas in the garden. Closing words to His disciples that benefit and are relevant to all of us today. As those disciples needed the Holy Spirit then, we need the Holy Spirit today. May we never forget it. May we never forget to breathe. May we trust in You and what You've given us as a precious gift. Give us a hunger and desire for Your Word, which the Spirit has given. Create in us holiness and Christ's likeness, which the Spirit has given. Teach us all truth. Convict us of sin like the Holy Spirit has been given for. Call us to repentance. Forsaking our flesh and walking by the Spirit. Oh, Lord, help us. There's so much here. You know how each heart needs to be helped. For those in here who don't have Christ, I pray that they would be drawn to Him by Your Spirit, that they would be saved. For Christians who are discouraged or sad, have burdens too heavy to carry today, I pray that Your Spirit will lighten their load. In whatever way that we need it, Lord, minister to us by Your Holy Spirit. For one day, we will see You face to face. What a treasure to have the Holy Spirit in us, but what a treasure do we long for when our faith will be made sight. Help us now, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing a closing hymn together. If we could help you in any way, please let me know before you leave. Thank you for watching online. Please reach out to our church office. Call us, text us, email us. Let us know how we could help you, pray for you, encourage you. God bless you. Let's sing.